Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We are recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. First things first, last week on the program, Jefferson, my man. He was up in Boston with cookbook maven, Chef Keith Saracen. Find out what they were doing. Plus, we had friend and Food Network competitor on season 6 of Supermarket Steakout, Chef Jonathan Rodriguez. Be sure to tune in on Tuesday nights. Check their website for the exact times. It's pretty cool to see him on there. Thank you, Peninsula Food Service, for supplying the proteins for today's production. Chefs in the Central Florida area, Peninsula is the largest distributor of Creekstone Farms beef in the Southeast USA, complete with a fully staffed butcher shop to help solve your kitchen inconsistencies. Yes. Check out their dry age program, too. Okay, our guest this week, we have a very cool guest, owner of Selena Cheese, Mark Maurer. It's a Central Florida family-owned and operated manufacturer of delicious, delicious cheeses, mozzarella. Stay tuned. Selena is on deck. Walk and Talk will be at the NRA show in Chicago in just a few days. Jeff and Pooch will be doing impromptu short-form interviews with industry personalities and meeting up with some of our partners, sponsors, and friends. In fact, Citrus America's booth will be home base, along with Metro and a couple of others. Come say hello at booth 5463. Can't wait to see AJ from Metro, along with Tina from Rack Porcelain. Wish I could make it, but I got to send these two guys. Jeff, baby, pop the clutch. We didn't cook yet, but you're going to talk about what we got. Go.
Sure. I mean, we're going to do a little bit of a study of a duck today. So we're doing it. So it was National Crepe Day. So I wanted to do something that was different. I'm going to do egg rolls, but we're going to do a riff on a duck à l'orange. We're going to morph that.
Say that again.
Duck à l'orange.
Yeah, I love it.
And then it's like saying croissant.
Croissant.
We're going to do cardamom rub duck breast with shredded napa cabbage. And then we did a Togurashi candied orange that you guys tried earlier that I thought was going to be too spicy for John, but he proved me wrong. We got a little brie in there for some creaminess as well. And then the dipping sauce is a blueberry lemon thyme dipping sauce as well. Then I wanted to do something with, since we have some cheese coming in, we're doing a pizza. We're going to do some barbecue sauce on that pizza, pickled shallots, because I know you like pickled shallots.
I do.
Yeah. And then we actually have some stuff from my garden that's going to be on this one too as well. Crispy onions. The duck is going to be kimchi and hoisin rubbed on that one. And then I wanted to do something a little bit different because I love shashuka. So I wanted to take shashuka, which is basically a stew of tomatoes and peppers, cumin, coriander, garlic, and then it has some peppers and you put egg in it. So what I did was leave the egg out. I blended all that through to be nice and smooth. Then I'm taking shawarma spiced lamb racks, and then we're going to sear those off, put them down with some roasted zucchini as well, some mashed potatoes. And then lastly, we're going to be doing, and John's favorite, I brought it back. You didn't see it, did you? It's figs, but I'm taking it to the next level. I took some brie, put some brie inside the actual, made a little cavity inside the actual loin part of the pork chop, stuffed it with the fig and brie. Then I took the leftover fig and brie mixture, added pecans to give it some crunch. So we're going to put that on top of it afterwards. And then we're going to serve that with the garlic mashed potatoes, grilled peaches, because peaches are in season right now for Florida. That's a short little window of 3 weeks. And then we're going to do that with some charred tomatoes from my garden. I have some pickled chocolate peppers from my garden as well. And I have my Marisaki peppers in throughout the whole different menus.
You know, I think this whole cookbook thing that you're doing, you started off wrong. You should have had the name of the book should have been My Secret Garden. Okay.
Well, no, that's the next cookbook.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Craveable Cookbook.
The Craveable Cookbook.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the Jefferson Starship.
By the way, it's going to be released, looks like, in about 3 weeks.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. We won't be able to talk about it on this show, but all right.
Well, Citrus America, thank you very much, because they actually said if I wanted to put anything out on their booth about the book, I said, yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. So we're going to do a QR code.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah. And by the way, yeah, we're going to be doing some stuff. Yeah, I think I seeded it maybe a month or so ago, but we're going to be doing some things with Citrus America coming up. So stay tuned. I'll drop more on that as that gets closer. Are you excited about this NRA thing or what?
I would be if I didn't go through what I went through last weekend. I'm still trying to recover.
First of all, you picked up and left. Okay.
It was yeah,
like
I did.
The shortest notice of short notice. I was like, all right.
All right. August, I'm putting you on notice right now. Mid August, I got to do it again.
August.
Yeah.
On a Thursday?
Probably, but
getting dirty.
Don't worry. I'm going to prep so that John has food.
Okay. Yeah. We need to get that squared out.
Yeah.
But I also need to know which Thursday it is. Cause I'm right now in the process of booking some like hardcore big time talent.
Tell Keith he's listening right now.
Yes. Harrison, you hear me. All right. You're going to have to kick in for this if you're, you know, all right.
Pulling. Yeah.
Real quick. So you were, before we get to that NRA.
Yep.
This is a big deal.
It's huge.
Right?
Yeah. 10 football fields of convention space.
And we're going to have access to all of it.
Yeah. It's amazing the amount of emails that Pooch and I are getting on an hourly basis, let alone daily basis. It's really cool.
Well, I was on a call yesterday with Metro, mm-hmm. and they're super excited too.
AJ and Brianna are going to be there?
AJ is going to be there. Brianna's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's cool to see AJ.
100%. And yeah, there's some other cool things that are going to be happening with Metro as well. You know, just some content related, really cool stuff. So we'll get into that at another time. But yeah, everybody, check out Metro. Metro Shelving. Metro. Go, baby.
And productivity.
Yes. It is totally productivity. Did you see your cart?
Yeah. I can't wait to play with it. Going to do that today.
You want to explain maybe so everybody knows?
So it's a Chef mobile cart. This thing is, I mean, they thought of everything. So it's adjustable height. You can put it to like 32, 33 inches to 41, I think it is. So somebody who's tall, like Lance Cook, could do it without, you know, leaning over and hurting their back. It has everything you can possibly think of. It has a rack there. You can put third pans, ninth pans, or six pans as you're cutting with a cutting board. slide that out, wash it. There's even a knife rack there too. When you're done, you can actually put multiple different cutting boards so that you can have that as well. There's sheet trays that you can put so that it's self-contained. So think about it. When you need to prep in a cooler because you're breaking down fish, you walk right in the cooler. Listen, we were just on a site visit, or we were at that site in New Hampshire on a farm. It had a one door reach in. It had four tables that were 6 foot tables. It had a deck, two deck oven and a sink. That's it. Three compartment sink. There was nothing else there. If we had that prep station where we needed to cut and we're out without killing ourselves, it would have been just super fantastic.
I mean, you could have done carry on.
You know, not for 202 people. Okay. I will tell you that team is amazing. Keith has really lined himself up and he's a great leader. And Chris Vall, they did a fantastic job. I mean, 202 people in 45 minutes we served.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
Is that what your cranky pants now? Yeah. Is that what this is?
Yeah, this is Jeff trying to recuperate.
All right. Yeah, I remember this after the World Food Championship. This is cranky pants Jeff right now.
No, this should have been after Jeff after the 9-course meal from Cabo.
Oh, speaking of that, well, did you see the video yet?
Yeah.
How was that?
Drop dead gorgeous.
Right?
Yeah. This guy, Evan, is just a monster.
He is. It's almost
like he's sitting over my left hand.
He's like a monster hanging over your shoulder.
Right.
So, I mean, literally.
This, I mean, seriously, when you guys look at this, look for it on the social media, over at the Walk and Talk, on any of those, it looks like it's a chef's table. It really does. It's that quality.
When I was putting out there, so we have a little side chat with the marketplace, you know, the porch market fellas, and it's like $1 million. To me, it's like $1 million. You look at the video, $1 million. That's what I saw. That's what I see.
I love how you were teasing them. Like, I want to show you. And I'm like, just drive over and show them.
you gotta tease.
Oh, you were definitely teasing.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're teasing right now. So when they dig it, when they look at this and they hear it now, they can go look at it.
I know. I'm excited. I am excited. And it's going to be really badass when we put it out. Plus all John's photography and, you know, Evan's working on some, you know, don't forget we have the Tasty Cam. Right.
Yeah.
And that Tasty Cam footage will be for socials. Right. So it's all in the, you know, portrait setting. And we're going to be pumping all that out. It's going to be great. And then we're going to be setting up for the next one. Got to pick the date. It's going to be good. All right. So with that said, without further ado, Mark, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me here.
It's our pleasure. And thank you for coming out. We really do appreciate when folks get to come and experience, you know, Walk and Talk podcast in-house in studio. You get the feel for what we're doing. Typically, or historically, I should say, you know, there'd already be food cooking and it brings a different element to the show itself. But you're going to see that just after the show. You'll experience some of that.
And you get to eat a lot more than when normally.
Yeah. Right. Thanks.
I can't
always, always with the shots, always with the shots, this guy. Hey, so you have a very interesting, first of all, we met you and I about a year and a half ago.
We did.
Right. And you were doing a tasting at Pizzecchi's Produce Farm Fresh over in St. Pete. And I happened to be there the day you came in to do the tasting. So I got to experience your product basically in the very beginnings of the company.
That was my first sales call.
That was your first sales call.
Yes.
You broke the burrata right there. You know, that was your first call.
That was it.
Yeah. So between then and, I don't know, was it a couple of weeks ago when we sent, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
About a month.
A month now? I don't know. Yeah. Time is upside down. So about a month ago, you came with here to Ibis Images and did a photo shoot with John, which was amazing.
Amazing.
Yes. But we got to eat product. And sample product again. And man, your consistency is fantastic. I want to say it's improved. It's even gotten better. It was good then and it's even better now.
Oh, it definitely has. You know, that was about a year and a half ago we met. And that was the very beginning of our company. So the consistency has changed a lot. We've gotten better at making the cheese. Got some new equipment that helps us with the production. Adjusted the recipes a little bit. And just got a little bit more experience under our belt making the cheese. So a lot's changed in that year and a half.
I think it's pretty amazing. So your story is pretty cool. You know, not everybody just like, you know, hey, you know what? I'm going to start a cheese company. I'm going to manufacture cheese. Like nobody really does that. It's rare. And to do it in a, to execute it in a way where it makes any kind of sense and where you actually do have consistency in your manufacturing and your quality and all. Why don't you go ahead and take a minute to kind of explain like how it is that you broke into the cheese business?
Well, it's a different story. That's for sure. I kind of fell into my passion of making cheese. I used to work for Hilton for hotels for 20 years and I did sales and business development for them. So I started in here in Florida. That's where I began my career with Hilton, moved up to Chicago for a while, worked at a hotel up there. And then I got transferred to Sydney in Australia. So I decided I was single and why not? Just moved to Sydney, started working for Hilton there. And then just after a while, just kind of got burned out with the corporate life and decided to move on from that. At that time, I met my wife, Kayla, and I was heavily into CrossFit at the time, which is a bit different. So I decided to quit my job with Hilton and become a CrossFit coach and did that for a little bit. And that's where I met my good friend, Giuseppe Minoia. And he worked for his dad. They had a company that they made mozzarella in Sydney. And they're one of the main producers throughout all of Australia there and make very good high-end cheese. And I started working for them and really fell in love with it, you know, so I was able to find my passion. And they taught me the trade, which I was very grateful for because they make the cheese the true Italian way. So Giuseppe's dad, Vito, he's worked and made cheese for over 50 years. So I think he's in his 51st year now. He started in Puglia in Italy, where Burrata was born, and they taught me it. So I worked for them, and we decided after a little while, Australia is far away. So we moved our family halfway around the world, decided to move back to Florida, be a little bit closer to home, and start up our company, Selena Cheese. And then got that rolling, and here we are today. So
whenever somebody says, hey, you know what, I'm going to learn something, and I'm going to try something new. I'm going to go from my career path that I've been on, and I'm going to jump ship, and I'm going to get into, like, your manufacturing cheese. You know, it's not like, oh, I bought a cheese company and we buy it from, you know, different purveyors and or other manufacturers and we just sell it. You're making it. And that's a big deal. And your product is really good. Okay. So I'm comfortable saying that because I've had it in two separate occasions in two different timelines in the history of your operation. So I'm saying that it's good. And I know you brought some goodies here today as well. So, you know, we're going to jump into that. By the way, I took a little bit of a different path than you. I saw CrossFit and I ran the other way, you know, completely in the other direction.
He went and sit fit.
Yeah.
That's where you sit and get fit by eating.
I'm sit fit and I can hardly button my pants, but I'm happy. Do you know what I mean? I'm happy. By the way, that's crazy stuff. Like I remember it was like COVID time when it was really becoming a big thing or whatever. I feel like we're right around there. And everyone doing all of those crazy
lifting tires because, you know, because I got nothing else to do except lift a tractor trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
That made me want to sit on my couch even more. It made me want to sit down, break out a bag of potato chips
and watch
you guys.
And you probably schwitzed too.
I'm sweating now thinking about it. Right now I'm sweating. You know what I mean? So you're a family business. You're a small company. What was it like to go from, you know, Hilton is big corporate. What was it like to go from Hilton to your own company where you're the end all, you and your wife, by the way, who's here in studio with us. You guys make it happen. Obviously you have a team, obviously you have equipment, but the truth is when it's your baby and it's your business, you're like you guys got to make it work every day.
That's it. It's hard. It is. Starting up your own business, it's a lot of work. It's a lot more work than I thought it was going to be honest. But we did. We made it work. We're a good team. You know, Kayla, she still has a full-time job, which helps, which allows me to do what I'm doing and get the business up and running. But I don't know. Like when I work for Hilton, it's I knew in the back of my mind, I think it's not something I always wanted to do forever. I'm very grateful that I did, because I gained a lot of sales experience, which is really paying off now because I do all the sales for our company. So I'm comfortable going in, talking to people and, you know, giving presentations and things like that. It's pretty natural for me at this point in time. So in that regard, it was good, but I always knew, like, you know, from when I was young, I always wanted my own company. I didn't know what it was for a long, long time, what I wanted to do, but I always wanted to have my own. I always wanted to work for myself and, you know, see it grow and, you know, realize the more work you put in, the more benefit you're going to have. And it's going to be, you know, for you personally. And that's something that I always wanted. So quitting Hilton, finding my way to CrossFit, which is, you know, a bit different than the normal path, and then finding my true passion later in life. You know, it's exciting, and really love doing what I'm doing and making cheese and just seeing the people's reaction when I go in and present my cheese.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Was it a situation where you were like on your last set of burpees, right? And you were just like, I've had enough. It was like, you know, at one point Forrest Gump said, I don't want to run anymore. Like, I'm done. And that, and it's kind of, I feel like that you hit that threshold. You're like, I don't want to lift one more tire. I don't want to do it, but I do want to make cheese. Like it's like the antithesis of, you know, like, because you're obviously in fit, you're a healthy guy, and but you make really delicious cheese. It's like some sort of, you know, opposites sort of a thing.
Well, I'm glad I have the CrossFit background, because cheese making, it's not an easy job, to be honest. You know, it's physically demanding. You know, just the things you have to lift, you're on your feet all day. It's quite hard. You know, when I was working at the factory in Australia, you know, I was kind of low on the totem pole. So I was the man cutting up the curd and the big cheese vats and lifting these huge baskets of cheese up into the machine to stretch the cheese and things like that. And we would go through, oh my gosh, I think a ton of cheese a day. So I'd be lifting all of that curd myself. And these baskets probably weighed about 20 pounds each. And you're lifting them up over your head, putting it into the machine to get stretched. So, you know, that made me fit. So in a way, it was kind of CrossFit.
Cheese fit.
Yes.
It works. Absolutely works. I couldn't do it. I mean, I would be eating the profits of all of that. Like, honestly.
Who's, you know, shocked?
Nobody. Nobody's shocked. Anybody listening? Nobody. Everybody.
Everybody out there just went, he would be eating it.
I don't know how many chins I would have. Like, seriously, this beard would be so full to cover all of that. I don't even know what I would do with myself.
I ate my fair share when I was there. That's for sure.
So what most people don't recognize, and the reason I'm bringing this up right now, is that stracciatella is probably one of my most favorite things to just sit down with a spoon and eat. Okay. A little salt and just have a good time. Where else do you find stracciatella? Where is it that most people don't know where to find it?
Well, I'm the only one that produces it in our area locally. The only ones I've seen is people, they're importing it from Italy.
But it's in the burrata. Most people don't know it's stracciatella. That's in burrata.
That's it. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's the one thing, because we sell at the local farmers markets around Tampa and St. Pete and down in Sarasota. Everyone knows burrata. And then I'll ask them, oh, have you ever had stracciatella? They'll say no.
Right.
I'm like, well, stracciatella's what's inside burrata. So the shell of burrata is mozzarella, and then the inside, that gooey, cheesy part, that's all stracciatella.
Yeah. I dig that. I want to live there, right? So if it's me, so for example, I had a little, it was a little plastic container. I don't know how many ounces that might have been.
I didn't get any of that cheese, so don't look at me.
Yeah, you did. We used it.
No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't?
No, there were two
containers. I got one. Nope, I didn't get them all. Anyway,
Silent John is pointing at you, and so am I.
You guys don't know what you're talking about. Well, I will tell you this. I stood at my sink. I had a ball of burrata, and then I finished the container of stracciatella. Because that's what I do.
Well, it's funny that when we sell at the market, not a lot of people know stracciatella. They know burrata, but they know stracciatella, which if they know burrata, they know stracciatella. But they always ask me, what do you use for it? What can you do with stracciatella?
Oh my God, everything.
Anything you want.
Really?
Pretty much. It's like, well, what can't you do with it? But I always say, you know, I like to put it on my scrambled eggs in the morning, get a nice little baguette, put it on there. You know, that's
spread.
My favorite way. But to be honest, I'm pretty sure most people, they keep it in the fridge. They pass by the fridge. They get a little spoon, take it out of the container, and just eat it straight out of the container.
That's me.
So the funny thing is when we saw stracciatella in my mind, because I've been in Italian cooking for a while, I went right to the soup. Most people are like, what soup? I'm like, you don't know the... Even Keith was like, I don't know that soup. I'm like, it's Italian egg drop soup. And stracciatella means to stretch. Yeah. And that's where it comes from. So it all makes sense. The velvety of how you do it with the stracciatella. Either in the soup or in the cheese.
Or from the container bin.
That's right. You know, like at the sink when you were at John's, when you ate the other container.
Oh, is that what I did?
Yes.
I had that. Okay. But So what nobody realizes here is that was all in one day.
No, we do.
I do. Yeah. Wow. All right. So I have a problem. I have a cheese problem. And thanks for coming in today and
giving him his fix.
Yeah, you're giving me my cheese
fix. I can solve that problem.
Yeah.
Or add to it.
I am going to come knocking on your window at about 3 a.m. It'll be me. Don't worry about it. Okay. So back to manufacturing. You guys, you're kind of moving up in the manufacturing world, right? So everything, you explained something to me which I didn't know. You did get some automated equipment, right?
Yes.
To help in the process. But in the end, it's still by hand. Can you kind of explain that?
Yeah, it's always going to be an artisan process when you're making mozzarella. So we purchased a machine. It's called a stretching machine. It helps you stretch the cheese. So when you're stretching, when you're making mozzarella, you're taking cheese curd, you're adding near boiling water, and then you stretch it, which draws in the hot water into the cheese, and that's how you get the consistency that you're looking for, whether it be a little bit harder, whether it be a little bit softer like burrata, something like that. So what the machine does is it takes the cheese curd, it goes through this grinder, grinds it up into little particles, and then I start controlling the amount of hot water that goes into the machine. So we use water that's 90 degrees Celsius. I always use Celsius or metric system because that's how I learned, but it's about 194 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's quite hot, just under boiling. The cheese curds gets some water and I control how much water that goes into the machine and it starts warming it up. Then it goes into this other compartment of the machine where it has these big like hands that kind of, it's like a kneading, like if you're kneading dough. And then I start putting more water in there. So I'm always controlling how much water you put into the machine. And that's the key when you're making mozzarella. So if you want softer mozzarella, you're going to add more water. If you want harder mozzarella, you're going to cut back the water a little bit to get the consistency that you want. And that's what you're always doing. So I always have to feel the cheese. I always have to touch the cheese to see what the texture is to get the consistency of whatever I'm making at the time, whether it be fiordalatte or like our pizzarella, which is our pizza cheese, which is a little bit more firm because it's going to be melted. So you don't want a lot of water in it. So even though the machine is making the cheese, it's pretty much just taking the manual labor out of it because I'm always controlling the water that goes into it. And that's the hardest part about cheese making. Cheese making, you can't just say, okay, here's a pound of cheese, add, you know, a half a gallon of water and you're going to have perfect mozzarella. That's not how it works because the cheese curd and the milk, it's always absorbing different amounts of water. You never know what you're going to get. Even though I do the same thing every single day is different because I never know how that batch of cheese is going to absorb the water because there's so much that goes into it, especially with like the cows, like change of seasons. It's hard for a cheesemaker because the cows are starting to eat different things. They're starting to be outside a little bit more. They're starting to run around. They might become a little bit more lean. Milk might have a little bit more fat, and that's all going to affect the way that the cheese is being stretched. So it might absorb more water. Some days I'll put the machine on and just add a little bit of water and boom, I'm getting the desired result. Some days it's just like, man, I have to just crank up the water into this curd because it's so different.
So as you're doing this process, the feeling part of the cheese is so that you can control the consistency to keep it the same through each batch.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So even though the elements might be different, you know, whether it's temperature, what the cows are eating, or, you know, seasonality of things, you can still take that product, which is going to be different in its creation. You can still manipulate it to come out in the same format.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, see, that's amazing.
And where are you getting most of the milk from? Is it local?
It will be. I need to buy a cheese vat, which is, they're quite expensive. So once I have that, then I have a local farmer that's going to be giving me the milk. And then, yeah, then we'll be 100% Florida made.
Jeff, should I have a cheese vat?
I think you do have one. It's your stomach.
Oh, I own it. Yeah, I carry it around. Right. Of course. A cheese vat. What does that look like? What is that?
Just like a big open stainless steel drum. So what you do, you just put the milk in there and it's hooked up to a boiler. So you put steam. Steam heats up the milk to a specific degree. You add the rennet, that's what coagulates the milk to make it solid. You can either add citric acid or vinegar, and that kind of speeds up the process, and that's how you get your cheese curd. So then you cut it, the whey falls off, and then you have a solid product. So you take that solid product, and that's how you start making mozzarella.
To make one ball of burrata, how long does it take, the process?
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
By hand, I can make, the whole process, I can stretch about 10 pounds of cheese in about 15 minutes, and then you start making the burrata. Burrata's hard because, one, there's a lot of technique involved in it, and it takes a couple of days. So to kind of backtrack, to make stracciatella, which is in the burrata, that's a two-day process. So you have to make the stracciatella, which is shredded mozzarella, and I pull big, long sheets of it. And then you take that, you cool it down, and then you shred it. And you shred it by hand. So to get those little shreds of mozzarella in there, it's all shredded by hand. So it's not my favorite process.
Are the larger companies, is that automated in the larger outfits or no?
They are. There is a machine that does it. Shreds it. That does work pretty good. But you have to be able to, you buy it. But just for the stracciatella part. So then the stracciatella, it has to sit overnight, so it has to absorb the cream that you put in and salt. And then the next day, then you start making the burrata. So the way I make a burrata is I take about 3-ounce ball of mozzarella, I flatten it in my hand like a pancake, I close it, or I put a scoop of stracciatella in there, I close it, and I hand tie a knot. And that's how you get the burrata. So that's why everyone's like, oh, the burrata is so expensive, but it takes 2 days to make, and there's quite a lot of labor involved in it.
Just in tying the knot, there's a lot of labor.
There is. And to me, that's the most important for the burrata, is to have the hand-tied knot. There are machines that do it, but it doesn't come out as consistent. So when I make the burrata, you'll notice my burrata. You'll cut it open, and the skin of the burrata is really thin. And that's how you tell a good artisan burrata, is how thin that skin is. Because when they make it with a machine, they just take a ball of mozzarella, they shove it up into this cone that shoots stracciatella in it, and then they just kind of pinch it shut. So the outside, the skin part tends to be quite thick, and I find it a little bit chewy. I don't like it as much. And there's not a hand-tied knot, which I think is important, especially when you are selling it to restaurants and things like that. When a burrata comes to the table and there's a hand-tied knot, you know exactly what you're getting at that point. You're like, oh, this is burrata.
There's nothing like burrata. At all.
Well, when he's talking about the hand tie, I think for optic, I think it's beautiful because you mentioned artisan. That's the difference. I mean, let's just say quality for quality, But if you, you know, let's just say quality for quality is the same, which I don't, but let's just say, but then you go to the end user, you go to the restaurant or hotel or wherever that, you know, eatery is, and they put out this beautiful plate. When you have something that you can tell is like handcrafted, that just ups the level, ups the ante a little bit, I think, you know, and you can command a little bit more dollars for the plate.
Well, I think the other problem is that most people think that because it's local, it's going to be cheaper. And that's not the case, especially when you're putting the time and the effort in, like he's doing with the hand tying it, and it's labor intensive, 2 days to make. That commands,
I think,
a better price.
So in the world of oddball tipping as it is now, I think you should carry an iPad around and flip it around and have people tip you for tying the knot. I'm just saying, I would tip for that versus the coffee shop. I'm kidding. I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to get emails.
What's the tip inflation?
Tip inflation. Oh my goodness.
It's nice. We have a few restaurants that know our story, and they educate their staff, their servers and things like that. And when they bring out the burrata and things like that to the table, you know, they kind of say a little blurb about where this came from. It's local, you know, family owned, everything's handmade. So it is nice. And I think that's one of our best features that we have, is that it is handmade. It's family owned. It's local here. And some people even put, you know, it's made by Selena cheese on the menu, which is nice.
So a lot of our listenership, I mean, we're all over the place. We're 90 countries, 1600 cities around the planet. Obviously we're here in Central Florida. We're in the Tampa area. So we deal with a lot of the chefs locally. I understand that a couple of weeks ago you had your first order to Pizzecchi's Produce, which is a friend of the show, and they can, you know, chefs and, you know, F&B directors, buyers, whatnot, you can find this product at Pizzecchi's Produce, correct?
Correct. Yeah. They carry our full line. And yeah, we just had our first order a few weeks ago. They started buying some of our burrata, some of our Oaxaca.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, because I've been waiting for you. So you have burrata, you have stracciatella, you have the pizza, then Oaxaca.
Oaxaca.
Yeah. Yep.
And then many different forms of the mozzarella. So
he went Mex-Italian.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, it's funny. Everyone asks, like, your Italian cheese, and what's the Oaxaca about?
Where'd the Oaxaca come from?
Yeah. Well, Oaxaca is, it's made the same way that you make mozzarella. So the same way that I make a fiordalatte or mozzarella ball or whatever, that's how you would make Oaxaca. The only difference is I'll take a 1 pound ball of mozzarella. You flatten it in a long line, and then you roll it. So you kind of roll it kind of like you would fold a flag. And that's how you get, when you unravel it, you get the stringiness of the Oaxaca.
Yeah. By the way, that's one of the best ones I've had, because you can see it on the, it's becoming more and more mainstream, like queso fresco and cojita cheese. So that's one of my favorites, because just so everyone knows, that's the same location where mole came from. So you have two, like you have that cheese and mole, and you put the two together. It's just incredible. And you don't have to use that cheese just in Mexican cuisine. There's a lot of the things you can do that.
Wait. You're saying.
Yeah, it's not just in that realm of the stick into your lane. No.
All right. So you're saying that it doesn't just have to be in a taco.
No.
Okay.
It could be anywhere it wants to be, because it commands it, especially with your flavor profile on it. And that definitely has that flavor profile.
Well, tell me, Jeff. No, I'm only kidding. Chef Jefferson, what would you do with a Oaxaca? Like, what in your head now? Because I already know you've been thinking. You've been already thinking, like, what am I going to do with
this? I would do a prosciutto wrapped instead of mozzarella. You're establishing something that's totally different, that's not been seen before. I think chefs, one of the things that we can do, we have the opportunity to teach and educate our guests. And one of the ways to do it is not doing something by infusion to be confusion, but infusion to actually, like, make that stand out. One of the best things I've ever seen around the country, as far as stracciatella has been concerned, is Bufalina out in Austin, and they were a James Beard award-winning restaurant. We didn't even order it. It came to the table, and thank God they did that. And it was literally this huge, thick piece of this gorgeous grilled sourdough and this fantastic layered of complexity tomato jam with the stracciatella on top.
Oh, my God.
And just, you know, just Keith and I were like, we're definitely going to do this. And when you guys dropped that stuff off and did the shoot, that's one of the things, but somebody ate two containers of it. So today Jeff is taking both those containers because next week I'm going to actually do something with that for the podcast. I want to shoot that because there's nothing like that.
I will approve.
I'm sure you will when it's going into your mouth too. Yes. But I think that's one of the things that we can do and educate. I mean, a lot of people, like you said, don't understand that the work involved in it, the time that it takes to it. You know, like you see the thing, well, why does it cost this much? Well, because it's so much more. Like we talked to our farmers that do chicken, raise chickens, like Nicole and Vicky and the goats and all that. Well, why does it cost like $17, $18 for a bird? Well, when you taste that bird, it's different than the $3 one that you get in the supermarket because that's not the way we should be eating. The way we should be eating is that bird or this cheese because it doesn't have all that stuff in it. When you're looking and you're sourcing your milk for the product, you have a certain standard operating, I was about to use the SOP, standard operating procedure, right? That you're looking for grass finish.
Criteria kind of, whatever.
Yeah, we do. Like my main goal was to have a milk come from a single origin. So I didn't want to use like a co-op or anything like that because that's where a lot of the milk goes. So farmers will sell to one specific area and all the milk is mixed in with, you know, all the farmers' milks. So I wanted one that came from one specific farm. That was really important to me. I went to the farm. I visited it. I saw the cows. I saw what they were eating. I felt what they were eating. So I knew it was a good quality source. And you know, milk, that's cheese. So if you don't have a good milk, you're not going to have a good product. So that was the main thing that I really wanted was a single origin because I wanted to know exactly what was going in to feed those cows. And then there's other like technical things you have to worry about, like the fat content in the milk and things like that. So you have to use specific cows. You can't use Jersey cows because it's harder to make the cheese curd because it's higher in fat. So you have to watch for that.
So when you, let me back up a second. When a moment ago you were describing, I got to see the cow. I got to see what they're eating. I got to feel what they were eating. I immediately was thinking, I was getting snapshots in my head of Gladiator and Marcus Aurelius would just, you know, bend down and pick up the soil and put it in his hands before, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is, you know, this is like a real feeling. It's a real thing. And this is where the passion comes from, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really, really cool. Okay. I have a question for you. You make cheese.
Yes.
Okay. Are you still eating cheese?
I do. I have to.
Not for tasting. No. When I was doing coffee manufacturing, I was drinking, I mean, like seriously, coffee from all day, all night. And then sometimes I'm just like, oh God, I can't do it. I just can't have another cup. I can't do it. Is it a similar thing or?
It's not. It's cheese. Like, you know, who doesn't like cheese? Like, can you ever get sick of cheese? Can you ever get sick of pizza? I eat a lot of it. Like we eat a lot of mozzarella just because it's there, especially Oaxaca. Oaxaca is my favorite. That's the one I eat the most of. It melts really well. I like to eat it fresh. I think it's great. You know, just the saltiness with it. But, you know, I've been on a big goat cheese kick lately. I really like that. Eventually we're going to get into buffalo milk. So we'll have buffalo mozzarella.
Oh yeah.
I'm excited for that. That's one of my favorites. Once we get that, we're going to get a cold smoker. So we're going to have smoked buffalo, which is, that's the best.
I love what you're saying. Oh my goodness. How many, so offerings, right?
Meanwhile, John's looking at me.
I know. Well, we're both looking at you. Right now, how many line items are you putting out?
We have six.
Six?
Yeah.
Rattle them
all, off. All cow's milk. So, well, we have more, but the main ones, we have mozzarella balls, which come in Fiorda Latte, which is 8 ounce. We have Bocconcini's, which is 2 ounce. Chili Genie, which is cherry sized, and Perlini, which will be pearl sized. So those are all like the fresh mozzarella balls that everyone would know. Like I said, we also do Oaxaca. We have burrata of various sizes, stracciatella, and pizzarella. So that's we call it pizzarella, a low moisture cheese.
Yeah, not like the stuff that's out there that the broadliners sell. I can tell you that much right now. There's nothing like it because you're getting something that's artisan. One of the things I noticed when I was up in Boston and in New Hampshire, one of the things I loved, and I think we have to embrace it down here, is I went to Martin Butcher Shop in Essex, right outside Essex, Massachusetts. And I walk inside and they're listing where the duck came from, where the cow came from, where the chicken came from, where the cheeses came from. And I think if we start doing that more, we're going to start seeing better products on our shelves. And inevitably, we were talking in the green room, that's the products that we're putting in our bodies now that are making us sick because the ultra processed foods. This is how we have to go back to eating, because we can find a single source cow or milk that is going to be producing the end result, because inevitably they're not, farmers are not farmers of cattle. They're not farmers of pigs or chickens or whatever they're growing. They're farmers of the soil. It's the grass or whatever they're using. So you have to look for a high quality farmer that's doing stuff. So congrats to doing that.
No, thanks. Well, I mean, that's the flavor, right? Whatever the cows are eating, that's going into the milk. So it's, you know, it's so important to pay attention to those things, you know, same with, you know, the meat that you're buying, the chicken that you're buying, whatever those animals are eating is what's going to go into your body.
100%.
I feel like we should all pick our mics up, throw them down and walk out now. Mic drop it. Everybody don't do that. These are expensive.
Well, yeah, you just want pizza and spring rolls.
I want to get into the spring rolls and pizza. Oh my goodness. All right. So what, where do we find, other than Bezzecchi's Produce, which chefs out there you should be calling, give Brian a ring, set that up. Are you all Central Florida?
Yes, we are mainly in the Tampa, Pinellas, St. Pete area. We are down in Sarasota at the farmer's market there. You can find us at Rolling Oats in St. Pete. And there's a bunch of different farms, Meacham Farms, Life Farms, all around Tampa and Clearwater.
What's your website real quick?
SelenaCheese.com.
Excellent. All right. Thank you for being on the show. I appreciate you both coming out to the studio. Jeff, John, you guys are awesome. Evan, wherever you are, floating around somewhere, you're awesome too. All right. We are. Oh, by the way, Peninsula Food Service, check them out. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.